Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
When a private citizen makes a controversial comment, it might spark a heated debate. But when the potential mayor of a global city like New York speaks out, especially on issues involving foreign governments or conflicts, the consequences can ripple way beyond the city borders. So where is the legal line between free speech and diplomatic fallout? John Day joins us, as he always does, from the US. John, a very good morning, and thank you for staying up to chat. How are you doing?
Oh, good morning, Howard. Thanks for having me. Doing well.
Good. So there's obviously a lot of anxiety around the potential mayor of New York. We've spoken about that, but let's talk about some of the impact or the potential concerns around some of his comments. How do we balance this?
You know, that is the question in this election, and it's unclear. I mean, the fact that Mamdani has not done much to take back things he said that are so controversial and cause so much turmoil. He's doubled down on some of them. The reaction has been, at least among the establishment, the old New York sort of Democratic, more moderate establishment is coalescing behind Cuomo, the former governor who's running, and there's the Eric Adams contingent. And I think the bottom line is, even though there's polling that's being done, it's uncertain how this is going to shake out. But the fact is that this Democratic Socialist candidate, this young man who's only been in the state legislature for, I think, two terms, has managed to be the spearhead of a interesting coalition of New York voters, and it's driving a lot of people away, and it's bringing a lot of people in, and it's getting the business community to back people like Adams and Cuomo instead of the bottom line is nobody knows, but it is certainly an exciting election season. You got to say that.
So are there any guidelines in terms of an American mayor publicly talking about a foreign conflict? Obviously, he's allowed to talk about what he wants, but surely within his party, there should be or there would be some forms of control. You can't have the finance minister, for example, in South Africa, making public statements about foreign policy. You can't have Minister of Justice. There surely should be some form of internal controls, or there'll be chaos.
Well, what's happening is the only guardrails are what the Democratic Party is willing to accept, and we'll know when they have this election finally if that's had any effect. But you know, the presence of Cuomo, who's running as an independent, the question is, who is he drawing votes from? Is he going to be a spoiler? What's the role of Adams and his constituency? And I think it's unclear, and there's still a fair amount of time before the election and things could happen. But yes, what Mamdani's done is he's able to use, and New York is obviously an international city. Mm. It's a city that has populations from, the varied population, of course. But what he's been able to do is coalesce and bring together these groups that would ordinarily have been in the sort of traditional Democratic pocket or the Democratic voters. And now suddenly they're looking at, maybe we could vote for a Democratic Socialist who seems to be shaking up the traditional party lines. But at the end of the day, it'll be interesting to see how much moderate support there is for Cuomo or in Adams, especially by the business community.
Mm. What about, is there a concern that Cuomo and Adams would be splitting that vote?
Yeah, there is, actually, because if it's an anti-Mamdani vote, where is it going to go? There is a Republican candidate who probably will take some of the, he'll take a traditional Republican share of the votes, but he's not really a considered to be a significant player right now.
Is that because he's Republican, or is that because of him?
It's mainly because it's Republican. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, former Mayor Michael Bloomberg won as a Republican, but that was a guy who had, you know, billions and billions of dollars to spend, and he came across as much more moderate and business oriented and centrist. So, I mean, it's as you have said before, this has shaken up the Democratic Party in the whole country, not just in New York and New York State, but it's the concept of how these thoughts and concepts and policies play out in the era of Donald Trump and the sort of the decline of the Democratic Party throughout the country.
My prediction on this whole thing is he's not going to become mayor, but that he will be a significant force from within the Democratic Party, where the squad hasn't been able to really unite. They've and create enough of a following, I think that he would be the one to bring that whole element of the Democratic Party together. What's your thoughts?
Well, I think that's generally true. I mean, one of the issues, though, is the squad has had a lot of history behind it. You know, the super progressive, and then they're all women. And he doesn't, I mean, his history is so limited that he doesn't have that baggage, if that's what it is. And he's sort of seen as this fresh face shaking up the power structure, attracting a lot of younger voters, and appealing to the people who the squad appeals to. But at the same time, he is, you know, because he doesn't have this baggage, maybe he's seen as a more viable candidate. But it remains to be seen. But what he has done is shaken up the party and the Democratic Party in general, because suddenly, you know, someone that they thought would never get to that point is sort of the most visible Democrat in the country. And is that really what that party wants?
What's potentially more dangerous than him carrying on as he is him not carrying on as he is and telling people and telling voters what it is that they want to hear. In other words, curtailing some of the rhetoric that are worrying people ahead of the elections. How much of a danger is that?
Well, you know, campaigning and elections are one thing, and governing is a completely different thing. So, if he does, and I think, you know, I think your instincts have always been very good, especially on American elections. But I think if he does win, does that mean that he governs the same way he's campaigned, or does he suddenly have to face the reality of a New York establishment and business community that's not necessarily welcoming, and how effective can he be? But again, he has at the very least, he's caused a lot of nervous Democrats to lose a lot of sleep.
What is the real state of New York like at the moment? You know, if you read the New York Post, it looks like a free-for-all, but there's also an agenda there. How bad is it in terms of crime, business confidence, and quality of life?
I mean, I think it depends on who you're asking. I think, my most recent, I was there about 2-3 weeks ago for some time, and I thought this is actually not nearly as bad as I was anticipating, because it had been a little bit of time since I'd been there. But at the same time, it's highly charged, and it's a reflection, I think, of what's going on, a lot of uncertainty just throughout the country in general. And I'm glad you didn't ask about Jeffrey Epstein, because that's a whole different issue that's exploding
In fact, now you've left me no choice, but I do have to ask you about Jeffrey Epstein. So to me, I keep listening to this, and I'm finding it quite difficult to get particularly motivated by it, because it just seems so political. Yes, we know Jeffrey Epstein was a terrible, terrible human being, and anybody who got involved with him was terrible. But he's certainly not the worst perpetrator of horrible things in the world. He's not going to be the last, and I'm not saying it wasn't horrific. It is. Why the fixation?
It is and it's kind of astonishing, but it's this, you know, this guy suddenly this is what the media in the States is suddenly focused on. Does it involve Trump? Is Trump not involved? Did he write, apparently there was a letter that someone
said. Birthday card, yeah.
Birthday, was it a real one? Did it really happen? I mean, it's just when you thought things couldn't get more supercharged and heated, suddenly Now, even, you know, the concept is, are Trump's MAGA supporters turning on him? Are they, is there some belief that there's some big conspiracy? And I mean, this is really, it's unsettled right now, and it's consuming a lot of the oxygen at a time when there are a lot of, you know, a lot of other issues, the budget bill, the taxes. And so, but all attention now is on, you know, did Donald Trump write a birthday card to Epstein's 50th birthday? And in the meantime, a lot of other things of a lot of significance are happening. And this is drawing all the, sucking up all the air.
I don't know. I've written birthday cards or birthday messages to some really, really horrible people as well. I just hope I never get into trouble for doing so. That is where we leave it, John Day. Thank you, as always. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. It is 7:31. I'd love your thoughts on that. Tell me your share your view on the Jeffrey Epstein story. How big a deal is it? Really, am I underplaying it? Am I being a little bit obtuse around it? 061-895-1019. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.